all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, unclose your eyes, let your love flow, come inside. We are standing on an endless horizon.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello and Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and welcome to another transmission from the Dog Poet, broadcasting from the saucer pod of the future. I can't be hovering anywhere else because the period in which I am coming to you doesn't exist yet, except it's still now, but conditions in the world will have rearranged themselves differently than they are now. They may be dramatically rearranged, or they may be rearranged into more of the same. They might have influenced what I would have had to say, but we'll never know. And let me just slip out of this line of thought because it's going nowhere. One of the things I have to be on guard against is allowing the banal, trivial, and superficial nature of the world to bring me down. I can't go to a news site or walk down the street without it being brought to my attention. Once again, it's the reactive mind. It's my mind reacting to the disappointment that I feel, and I shouldn't be feeling disappointment. I should be feeling joy that I can see it. I'm trying to look within and see how many things like this I have backwards, how many states and conditions are appearing to me as something other than what they are, simply because I repeated a perception over and over. We're composed of the judgments and definitions we have placed on ourselves and the world as we walk through it. Our life expresses itself in response to this, and our reactive mind has done the job of reinforcing what we didn't know, but insisted that we did, and we've made it real when it isn't. We created our world as a result of the impetus of our karma and the degree to which we were working to free ourselves or further immerse ourselves in it. And possibly a lot of that had to do with how difficult or easy it was for us. I believe, regardless of what the world situation appears to be, that we're going to come into a time of greater ease. I don't want to be misleading, because I don't actually know, and I've been wrong before. But there's this feeling I have, and it keeps coming back through all the daily frustrations of life that have intensified of late, reminding me of the reactive mind. The divine puts us in so many situations that we would be a fool to make too much of ourselves. I look at the rich and famous, I study them, and I think to myself that it's far better to be a fool in front of the few people who know you than in front of the whole world. As far as I can see, they don't get off better than we do. In many cases, they're worse off. They don't have any more, nothing more of any real value than we do. It's just the illusion of that which is their greatest power. I think of Prince William and his wife, trapped in a performing a certain way, you know, like a trained dog, some kind of an outfit with a funny hat on its head, and despised by so many people, they're possessors of titles and trappings, caught up in a world of make-believe, adored by people they hold in contempt, and unable to connect with the people who might really make a difference in their lives. I look at the rock stars and entertainment figures who have to pay homage to a tiny group of psychopaths, who have to willingly embrace a lie so that they could be on stage and important, who are pursued by all manner of people for all manner of reasons. I think of what must go through their minds as they engage in their pet charities that usually don't help anyone, and what they must think when they find that out. But I could be wrong. Some of them must be enjoying themselves a great deal, perhaps. But once again, something tells me they don't. I look at the politicians who set the policy for their country and the terrible place they've brought it to, and I wonder at their rationalizations, and I look at the ways in which they enrich themselves at the public expense and all the deaths and suffering they are responsible for. And I wonder how they deal with it. I wonder how they rationalize what they do. The same goes for the religious leaders and their love and pursuit of temporal power. And I wonder what goes through their minds when they repeat the words of the one they lay claim to serving. What must they be thinking? I remember being around various famous people over the course of time, and remember them spending all their time in the bathroom shooting cocaine while I was visiting, or nodding out on heroin, or drinking nonstop and looking for a fight. It was a rare occasion when they were more or less stable. So what was the payoff? And where did all that fear come from? What's the secret of having to wear sunglasses all the time? Possibly it's insecurity about one's deserving what they have. Somehow it comes down to the way we see ourselves. Now, I'm no stranger to abuse. I leapt right into the fire, and it took me a few years to crawl back out. I don't know why it happened, but I've got some theories. We've all got theories. I know the Kundalini uprising tied into it all because it made lasting integration impossible. Most people spend their lives fitting in, and that's one way of forgetting yourself. We insulate ourselves from the knowledge of our impending doom. You see old people with the television and the radio going all the time. The distraction has to be maintained because death is coming, and they don't know what happened on the way. What was their life about? It's hard to remember most of it, if you can remember any of it at all. What was it all about? This is what those without a spiritual program face. The people with a spiritual program are also facing death, or, in some cases, a transformation. But they've got something else going for them. They've got a light at the end of the tunnel of mortality. It never fails to astonish me the degree of pride and self-importance that can exist in the minds of those who believe in nothing but their own power to accomplish whatever they want. Little do they know that the divine allows this as the divine allows everything else for the purpose of demonstration. The divine puffs up their self-importance. The divine arranges for all of the little Cardinal Wolsey moments. The whole of life is a play in several acts, and the characters keep replacing each other, but the basic plot never changes. It's all the varieties of self-interest played out to their destined conclusions, and a certain amount of selfless activity as a guide for the occasional practitioner of self-interest who gets a knock on the head or the rug pulled out from under them and who might, in a moment of epiphany, see what's what. The divine and nature work for the benefit of all. The divine grants life and a certain nurture. Nature grants sustenance and equilibrium for those disposed to study her ways. Nature is the repository of a great many wonderful secrets. Health unknown, a quality of health unknown to the wider collective, and immortality itself is to be found in nature's larder. Inspiration and all arts and powers, unknown and unrecognized in the greater world, are all to be had by the one who wins nature's favor, by the one who wins Lady Nature's favor. In nature's secret bowers are many marvels. Many unseen beings live in and work in and for nature. One who becomes a friend to nature can come to see and meet these beings. Meanwhile, the crass world offers plastic and styrofoam to wrap poisonous foodstuffs in. It offers sex in a toilet bowl and dangerous positions for those who only see the safety of their opportunities to steal. Fame and fortune advertise on every street corner, the way it's always a beautiful woman holding a bottle of scotch or riding in that new car that you've got to get the loan for. Dream dust gets sprinkled into your eyes and you put your whole life into hock, believing at some point you will crawl out from under it and own it all. However, the people who control the currency play games with the value of it. They inflate the value of your house, and then they reduce its value so they can take it from you. You promise pensions and 401ks, and they turn out to be worthless or seriously reduced. Corporate gangsters raid your bank accounts, and bury you in crippling taxes while they pay none at all and engage in wild games of speculation in which they lose trillions of dollars and then stick you with the bill. Fame and fortune can put you in their company. Is that a desirable place to be? I lived in a teepee for several years. It was a very nice one with a wooden floor and all sorts of amenities. I can remember few pleasures greater than that, greater than sitting there while the snow fell with some basic foods around and a fire. Days and hours went by while I sat there or worked on something or hiked through the snow in the middle of a forest that was empty of people and human noise. It cost next to nothing to do it. You could work a couple of days and have more than enough to sustain yourself. Of course, you might not have life insurance. Well, that would be a bummer. And you might not have health care, but living that way could well take care of your health. It was an interesting time because there was no time. I ate in my macrobiotic restaurant, which I own with a few people, and I'd work a few days, and they would work a few days, and sometimes we'd work a few days together. We had music, and we had long talks about the meaning of things, and some of us would get together once a month or so and do sessions with LSD inside a stone circle on top of a mountain. It was based on rituals used at Millbrook with Leary, and that was based on the Native American peyote rituals. We went places in a controlled environment with the Amitabha Buddha, and it was wonderful. A lot of people have their own perspective on these things. People who have never done them know all about them and are capable of making value judgments. People who couldn't handle what the substance showed, them determined that no one else could either. Gratuitous moralizing is not the sole province of uptight religious leaders and dogmatic followers of draconian creeds. Gratuitous moralizing can be had and maintained by every reformed whore and come-to-Jesus hippie who couldn't make the cut or got scared at the visions because they penetrated too deeply into the false self and they couldn't let go, so they rationalized the whole thing and immediately became all-knowing. That means they knew what was good for you, too. I still get people telling me not to do certain things who have never done them and who think nothing of drinking booze and having a stocked pharmaceutical cabinet, who think nothing of taking painkillers and eating bad food because bad food and an unhealthy lifestyle is definitely preferable to a life they know nothing about and have never been exposed to. I don't know what they think it is I do, and with what sort of frequency. Am I rambling all over the place? That's what happens when you do three shows in a row. And it's good to be passionate about some things, even if only for a moment, before you realize none of it amounts to much. You've only got what you are and where it's taken you. You're the sum total of what you've been through and what you've done and what you've learned from it. You're the product of your efforts and understanding. If we're not happy with what we are, then we change it. Sooner or later, nearly everything makes us unhappy because there is only one source of happiness. And happiness is fickle too. Joy is something else. Joy and the peace that passes understanding is something else, and that comes from union with the divine. Union with the divine deepens and deepens. No one can say how deep it goes, but just think about what it would be like to find out. That's always intrigued me more than anything else, and I pursue it any way I can. In this Kali Yuga, the materialism and spiritual darkness is a forbidding thing. So sometimes I use a rocket launcher to put me up over the tree line so I can see the landscape. Sometimes I need to get a truly objective look at myself so I can drop a depth charge into the nether regions and hope the things lodged at the bottom will float to the top. I make no apologies for it, knowing that those who love much are forgiven much. Sooner or later, we make the deep contact. Sooner or later, we make that deeper contact. And the need for any and all accelerants fades away. Even as it has been doing anyway for some time in my case, but no one knows the value or the lack of it in anyone's pursuit but their own. We don't know what makes someone what they are, and so we cannot say what is best for them. Only for ourselves, if even that much. There's an old Indian saying about you should walk a mile in a man's moccasins, you know, before you make an opinion on what he's up to. But hey, that won't stop people. It's the nature of people to project outward upon others and to avoid self-inquiry inward. And I'll tell you, man, I thank life for beating the crap out of me as much as it did because, you know, it woke a lot of things up. And I'm grateful for every bit of punishment that I received because it's taught me what's really valuable. It's taught me what's really meaningful. It's taught me what's worth having. At least in my estimation, well, I could be wrong about all of this, but I look out at the world and to me it's an empty coffin. It's got so little there that I have any interest in, and I can sincerely say that. I can say I'm in many ways supremely contented most of the time. Well, I've got the best company in the world. I found that one friend. Now the relationship needs to deepen, and I need to change and evolve and become what I really am. But I have made that connection. And that brings me such joy and gratitude and such a sense of security and in the presence of it. And that's all I really wanted. And I know that presence will deepen. It will deepen and deepen and deepen. And I look forward to that, knowing that each day the sun will rise upon another day in which it will deepen. Yes, my friends, and it's there for all of us, not exclusive to me. Others have gone before, and others will come after. Well, we've got to the end of yet another broadcast. All this in one evening for me. Well, there you go, visible. And I will see you next week, if there is one. May the inner light come forth and immerse you in illumination and bring you to the gates of realization. Hare Krishna, aloha, and haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.